نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we were discussing yesterday سجود التلاوة. And we said that we read what was reported from Ibn Hazm about that there are only 14 sajda in Al-Quran, and he did not consider that the one at the end of Surah Al-Hajj is a sajda. Now, the place of the sujood, this can be verified. I mean, this needs to be verified from a hadith point of view, which means to see what the scholars say, which the reports regarding the different sajdat, if they have been confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ or specified by the Prophet ﷺ, then we take them as being authentic and have been should be done. Otherwise, they are to be taken, removed, regardless of whether they are marked in the Quran or not. So why he says that one at the end of Surah Al-Hajj is not correct to be a sajda, I don't know. And I don't think I'll have time to look into this. But from previous times when I taught Ulum al-Quran and studied Ulum al-Quran, I recollect that all of the sajdat have evidence, all of them. Even though in the Quran sometimes you find that it says sajda according to Malik, or sajda according to all except Abu Hanif, or something like that, which is ridiculous to include in the book of Allah things like that, bringing the madhahib into the book of Allah. So the eternal book of Allah should be should not contain such things. But that shows that there are differences among the scholars as to where there is sajda and where there is not. But what we know is that there are 15 places of sujood in the Quran, and that is, and unless we have a proof that any of them is invalid, we will still go by them. The sujood of at-tilawa, or the sujood for the recitation of the Quran, is not fard, but it is very recommended. And it is recommended to make sujood for it, whether you are in the prayer, whether it is an obligatory prayer, whether it is a voluntary prayer, whether it is outside the prayer, whether you are at the time of the sunrise, sunset, when the sun is in zenith, whether you are facing the Qibla, not facing the Qibla, you have wudu, do not have wudu, all of these are irrelevant factors. You still are recommended, highly recommended, to make sujood of tilawa when you get to the places of sujood. Now he says in Taha, this mark that you would see, Alif Ha, you see in some of the Arabic books, Alif Ha means intaha, means finished. And they used to do it when they report or take a quotation from somebody. So to mark that this quotation has ended here, they say intaha, because they did not have the common, you know, desktop publishing abilities where they can indent the paragraphs, and then they make them smaller letters, and then they put parentheses before and after and so on. None of this was applied. So they just start, so and so said, and then start saying without opening quotation or anything. And when they finish, they say eight alif ha, which means intaha. That's it, finished. So I believe that what he is doing here, he's still reporting from Ibn Hazm, because he didn't say, actually he says here qala, he says, so he's still reporting from Ibn Hazm. So what we just said is also from Ibn Hazm, that it is highly recommended, and that it doesn't matter whether you are in a prayer, outside prayer, at the time of prayer or not. Okay, go. And whether you have tahara or do not have tahara.
He said the
qibla
does not matter
either. What? Qibla. Facing the qibla is not. Yeah, doesn't have to. You not have to face the qibla. If you are facing it while you are reciting the Quran, then you make sujood the way you are facing it. But it's not, required for the sujood tilawa to face the qibla. Wallahu alam. As for it being a recommended deed, but it's not a fard, it is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once recited "Wan najmi idha hawa," the Surah Al-Najm, until he finished it to the end of it, and at the end there is a sujood, so he made sujood. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. And on another occasion, Zayd bin Thabit recited it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recited Surah Al-Najm to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did not make sujood. This is also in Bukhari and Muslim, and he did not rebuke him. This shows that it is permissible. It is not an obligation to make sujood, but it is recommended. Why we say it is recommended? Because of the hadith. I'll go back and talk more. The hadith is reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَرَأَ ابْنُ آدَمَ السَّجْدَةَ فَسَجَدَ اِعْتَزَلَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَبْكِي يَقُولُ وَيَا وَيْلَهُ أُمِرَ بِالسُّجُودِ فَسَجَدَ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةُ وَأُمِرْتُ بِالسُّجُودِ فَعَصَيْتُ فَلِيَ النَّارُ. Which means this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. It says that when the human being recites a place where there is sajda and he makes sujood, the shaitan goes away from him and starts crying and saying woe be to him, which means it's not woe be to him like he has done something wrong. It is just that he shows his hatred to him, to the human being, because he has been commanded to make sujood and he made sujood, so he gets Jannah for that. And I was commanded to make sujood, but I refused, so I get the hellfire for that. So that shows that whenever we make sajda, if we are reading some Quran where there is sujood in it, and make sujood, that angers the shaitan. And it expresses also, this hadith shows that it is a way, or one of the things that we do that will take us, inshallah, into Jannah. As for making sujood without wudu and turning to other than the qibla, or that it is not a condition to turn to the qibla, this is again reported from Ibn Hazm. He says, whichever way you are turning, that is acceptable because it is not prayer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the prayer of the day and night is 2 by 2, 2 rakat by 2 rakat. So whatever is less than that is not a prayer, except unless there is a text indicating that it is a prayer, like the prayer, the 1 rakah of the fear, prayer of fear, and the prayer of witr, and the prayer of janazah. But there is no text indicating that the sujood tilawa is a salah. Now this is of course just like a logical argument. Somebody could refute that, because he's saying it's not a salah, but it is salah, because when you are making sujood to Allah, this is a salah, this is a prayer. So if you are talking about prayer by the definition of the fuqaha, then maybe you can argue that it's not a prayer or it is a prayer, but it is not what the what you would expect that the Prophet ﷺ meant when he said Salatul Layli Mathna Mathna or something like that. But the other argument that the scholar usually bring is that when the Prophet ﷺ made sujood in Mecca, everybody made sujood with him, sujood at tilawa, when he was reading Wan Najmi Idha Hawa. Even the mushrikeen, even the kuffar, made sujood when he made sujood. And the Muslims, regardless, and you would not expect that every single one was ready with wudu at that time and was facing the qibla. And things like that. So evidence like that is a stronger evidence to show that if it was done without wudu, without facing the qibla, then we may do it like that. But this argument of Ibn Hazm, I don't find it very strong or very convincing. Wallahu a'lam. What do you say when you make sujood? Like any other sujood, the sujood of tilawah, you say in it what you would say in any other kind of sujood. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في سجود القرآن بالليل يقول في السجدة مرارا سجد وجهي للذي خلقه وشق سمعه وبصره بحوله وقوته. This is in Rikab Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, which means that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa went for sujood for the Quran at night, he would say during his sujood many times, سجد وجهي الذي خلقه, my face is prostrating to the one who created it, and وشق سمعه وبصره, and who opened or put in for it its hearing and sight, بحولي وقوته, with his power and might. So in a form of submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, and expressing in it the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. And Ali radiallahu anhu reported that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sujood, he used to say, Allahumma laka sajat wa bika amant wa laka aslamt anta rabbi sajada wajhi alladhi khalaqa alladhi shaqqa sama wa basara tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. This is recorded by Muslim, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, which means, O Allah, to you I prostrate, in you I believe, to you I surrender, you are my Lord, my face is prostrating to you, to the one who created its eyesight or made its hearing and eyesight. Glorified is Allah, the best of the creators. Best of the creators, does it mean that there are other creators besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it mean that, ya Amir, or are you too tired to think? Huh? There are no creators besides Allah? Well, actually there are. There are. We create things sometimes, right? Create means something, make something. Like you make some words, you create words, you create a toy or something. But it is not an independent creation. It is because Allah created us and what we do. So Allah is the actual creator of what we create. But there are situations in there are texts in the Quran which use the word creation or for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this expression ahsan khaliqin, the best of the creators, it doesn't mean that there is a real creator besides Allah Azza wa Jal. It is an expression used in Arabic to mean that the true creator also. So it carries both meanings. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a man came to him and he said, I saw last night in my dream as if I was praying towards the stem of a tree, and I recited a sajda, a place where there is sajda in it, and I made sujood, and then the tree made sujood with me. The tree made sujood with me. And I heard it say, I heard the tree say, Allahumma ahtut anni biha wizra, waktub li biha ajra, waj'alha li indaka dhukhra. Which means, he heard the tree saying, O Allah, put off from me by this sajda, wizra, a sin, a burden, وَاكْتُبْ لِي بِهَا أَجْرًا and record for me by it a reward, a good deed. وَاجْعَلْهَا لِي عِنْدَكَ ذُخْرًا and make it for me with you a treasure or something saved with you. قال ابن عباس, ابن عباس continues, فرأيت النبي قرأ السجدة فسجد فسمعته يقول في سجودي مثل الذي أخبره الرجل عن قول الشجرة. He said, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once recited sajda, reciting a sajda, and he made sujood, and I heard him say during his sujood what the man told him of the saying of the tree. This hadith is recorded by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, is authentic.
It was Ibn Abbas, right?
Okay, so that's all about sujood al-tilawa. There is one more thing that he did not mention here, and I will add to it, to what is here, which is do you say Allahu Akbar when you go to sujood al-tilawa or not? There is no evidence at all that the Prophet ﷺ said Allahu Akbar when he was reciting the Quran to go to sujood tilawa. So once you pass by sajda of tilawa, you just fall down and make sujood. There is no need to say Allahu Akbar, and it is better not to, because it is not reported, and this is a ibadah, so it has to be done the way it was reported. And there is no part in the report saying that he used to say Allahu Akbar and then go for sujood tilawa, or you say Allahu Akbar and go for sujood tilawa like you go for the sujood in the prayer. Even when it is in the prayer, you shouldn't say Allahu Akbar and then go to the sajda. So even though I know that most of the imams, they do that, they say Allahu Akbar when they sajda and then they go for sujood, and then they say Allahu Akbar and they get up from sujood. But the correct thing is not to go say Allahu Akbar neither before it nor after it. And you know, as I said, most of the imams don't follow this, fearing that the people will not accept that. Now Shaykh Albani rahimahullah, he says if you think that there will be a fitna if you do not say Allahu Akbar, then you say it. But his opinion is that you shouldn't say it normally. And I find it actually more appropriate not to say it, even though the people expect you to say it, but it is more appropriate not to say it. Why? Because let's say the imam is leading a large number of people, like here in the masjid, and there are people who do not see him. There are women who are praying far behind, or men who are in the back rows, and they do not see the imam. And maybe they do not even see immediately the rows in front of them. So when the imam reaches a sajda and says Allahu Akbar, they think that if they do not know and memorize the Quran, they do not know that this sajda. They think that he finished his recitation and he is ready for ruku'. So they make ruku' when he went for sujood. And then when he says Allahu Akbar a second time, maybe they will realize that he actually went for sajda, and they will be all mixed up, confused. They don't know what to do. And this happens frequently in Ramadan during Taraweeh prayer, that if the women are not told ahead of time that there will be a sajda now, they get confused.
Why you're making the salah and you're reciting?
It tells you where to stop. So it's actually, what happens is that you stop, there is a place which caused the sajda. The meaning there caused the sajda, like فَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعْبُدُوا, make sujood to Allah and worship Him. So first you do the command to sujood, prompted the sujood. Or in other places, like this is not a good example maybe, because the sajda happens to be at the very last ayah of Surah Al, this is in Surah Al-Qamar, Al-Najm. For example, at the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, or near the beginning, it talks about the angels and everything makes sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels and the creation and the أن ترى أن الله يسجد له من في السماوات والأرض والشمس والقمر والنجوم والجبال والشجر والدواب وكثير من الناس وكثير حقا عليهم. Don't you see that Allah to him prostrate. What's on the heavens? In the heavens, I'm on earth. And the moon, the sun, and the moon. And then it mentions a number of other things, including the people, and so on. So you do not make sujood immediately when it says they make sujood to him, but at the end of the ayah, you finish the ayah and make sujood. Sometimes the meaning is not finished until one ayah after that even. So you finish these two ayat and there is a mark that they put for you to let you know that this is where you make sujood. So you make sujood there. Does this answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you do make sujood while you pray.
Yeah, same thing in prayer. So what I was saying is that if the imam doesn't say Allahu Akbar, let's say he is reciting in Taraweeh or whatever prayer, and he reaches a place of sajda, and he goes directly to sujood without saying Allahu Akbar, then the people who are immediately after him, they'll make sujood, and those behind them will realize and they will follow their lead. And there are people in the back also who know that this was a sajda and that is why the imam was silent. So they'll go to sujood and the others will follow them. So most of the people will make sujood. And even, let's assume that some people do not make sujood, some of the women did not make sujood. They see the imam on silent, so they think, well, probably he is, for some reason he is silent, we don't know, maybe he's tired, maybe he's trying to remember, whatever. But at least they will not think that he went for ruku'ah. And maybe after they get used to his style, they will realize that he is making a sajda. So they will make it with him, or even if they do not make it with him, at least they did not do something wrong in the prayer, because the sajda is not obligatory. And then when he continues with his recitation, when he gets up, he continues normally as if nothing happened. Okay. So Allahu A'lam, I find this is more correct and more appropriate. But don't press it with people, because many people will not accept that or like it or agree to it. And usually when I lead the prayer and there is a sajda and I go down for sujood without saying Allahu Akbar, some people think that I forget to say Allahu Akbar. So they say Allahu Akbar loud to remind me and remind others that you should say Allahu Akbar.
Like if you're at the end of one of the ayah that, or the end of the surah that says that comes at the end.
Okay, that's another good question. If the sajda comes at the end of the surah, like Surah Al-Najm, first you do Allahu Wa'budu, the surah is finished and you are planning to stop recitation here, you are not planning to start by reading the surah after it, Al-Qamar for example, then what do you do in this case? Or Surah Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, kalla la tuti'hu wasjud waqtarib, make sujood and come close. That's what it means. So that's the end of the surah. If you wanted to stop here and you are not planning to go to another surah, so what do you do in this case? Some people make sujood, go to sujood and then go up and they stand for a little bit and then they go for ruku'ah and then sujood. Now what I find more makes more sense in this case is not to go straight to sujood, but go to ruku'ah first and then followed by sujood. And this is the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, because he says that ruku'ah is actually a form of sujood, and also right after that you will be going to sujood. So by stopping there and going to ruku'ah, you have fulfilled some of the requirement of a sajda, and then it will be even more fulfilled when you go to sujood. So there is no need to go for sujood and then go up and then go again for ruku'ah and sujood, as some people do. Okay, only if you want to read some more, you can go to sujood and then get up and then start reciting what goes after that. And also, you know, since the sajda is not obligatory, then even if some people assume that you did not make sujood, then there's nothing wrong with it. It's not required. And as was reported from Umar radiallahu anhu, that once he recited something when he was the Khalifa, he was leading giving the khutbah, he recited something that had sajda, and he was on the minbar, so he went down. I don't remember now the description. I think you go down a few steps or to the bottom and you make sujood on the minbar or something like that. That is how the Prophet ﷺ did it, and that is what Umar radiallahu anhu did. So he went down and made sujood. And then the next Friday he was giving a khutbah, and he mentioned read some Quran during the khutbah. So, and there was happened to be a sajda, the same or some other sajda in that. So the people expected him to do the same, and they prepared themselves to make sujood with him. But he continued, and when he noticed their show of disappointment, that how come, I mean, you did not make sujood, he said, "Ana innaha lam tuktab alayna." Verily, indeed, it is not prescribed on us. It is not an obligation on us to make sujood tilawah. So it is not obligatory. It is only recommended. So if it comes in an inconvenient place or a cumbersome place, like at the end of the surah where you want to make to end and recitation and go to ruku', then go to ruku'. Don't make sujood tilawah, and intend that that is part of the sujood, or that you are not going to do it for now. And I remember a number of years ago, I was leading the prayer before this masjid was built in the old house, and there was a brother. According to some madhab, it is wajib. It is wajib. It is obligatory to pray, according to Hanafi madhab, I believe, to pray to make this sujood tilawah. So I got to I read Surah Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Allazi Khalaq. I ended it and I did not go for sujood, but I went for ruku' and then sujood. And after the prayer, after he made taslim, he did not make taslim, he made sujood sahu, like making mistake in the prayer. And then he said, "Why, you forgot something important, and you should make up, or you should also make sujood sahu yourself." I said, I explained to him what I explained to you now, that it is actually not obligatory, and besides, the ruku'ah is a form of sujood, as is explained by Ibn Taymiyyah rahmallah. It's not his opinion, I mean, he brought some evidences to show that ruku'ah is sometimes considered as sujood, and as in the Quran, like when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَخَرُّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا, that Yusuf's family made sujood for him. It actually means they did not go to the ground and make sujood, they made ruku' for him. They bowed in front of him. That's sujood tilawah. Any other questions about it? I think.
So Albani brings proof to say Allahu Akbar also? Through hadith?
No, he says there is no proof, so you shouldn't say it, he says.
Unless
you are in a place where people will be confused, you will have a rebellion in the masjid, yeah, they will kill you or something. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, he doesn't, so there's no.
Yeah, he doesn't support it, no.
Okay.
Unless you're a Richardson.
What is the circumstance when not working with?
When do you say it?
No, he said. What is.
When do you say it? He just told you one. When you are in a place where people will think that you are making a big atrocity, committing a big atrocity by not saying it, so you say it just to, because it's not like a major problem. There are some opinions that permit it, so say it for the sake of bringing the hearts together and things like that. Allahu a'lam. Tayyib, sujood al-shukr. Sujood al-shukr is a sujood to show gratitude. It is recommended for the one who is given a favor, or who have been protected from a great harm, or who has been given a glad tiding that pleases him. It is recommended for him to fall into sujood immediately. This was the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reported that when the Prophet ﷺ was given some news that pleased him, he would fall to into sujood, showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Ibn Majah and others, and it is considered hasan by Al-Albani. And sujood al-shukr is like sujood tilawa. It is recommended, but it is not an obligation. And it is important to understand the situation where you make it. It is one, there is something very pleasant happens to you, you do it immediately. So you cannot wait, say, okay, inshallah, I'll make sujood tilawa tomorrow morning, because postponed. It is done immediately as a show of gratitude the moment that you hear about the glad news. You hear the glad news.
So it's like prostration of happiness.
Yeah. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who grants us all these things. So we show our gratitude to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody comes and tells you that so and so enemy of Allah has just died. So you go into sujood. Or for example, the Chechnya, the Russians have been defeated by the Chechens, and this is for sure, for example. So you go into sujood. Or you got a big raise in your job, or a good job, so you make sujood immediately.
And is it like a sujood of talawa, where you can make the sujood anywhere? And you don't have to be facing the Qibla?
Yeah, it seems so. There's no indication to say, or no evidence to say, that you have to fulfill certain requirements for it, like for the regular prayer. But for this and the sujood tilawa, maybe I should mention that it is better to face the Qibla. It is better. So if it is not too hard for you, like it could be, sometimes you could be in places where it is very hard for you to change direction to face the Qibla. Maybe you are sitting in a car or something, and you're citing Quran and so on, and you might have wudu when you heard in the news or so on. So you make the sujood anyways. But it is better if you have wudu. It is better to face the Qibla. Like any form of dhikr, it is better to have wudu for it. And this is a form of dhikr. Okay, and facing the Qibla is better than turning away from it, because this is a partial form of prayer. And also the Prophet ﷺ said that the best sittings or the most pleasing sittings to Allah are those which face the Qibla. No, the hadith says إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَيِّدًا, if I remember it correctly, وَسَيِّدُ الْمَجَالِسِ مَا وَجَهَ الْقِبْلَةِ, which means everything has a chief or a master or a best, and the best of sittings is those which face the Qibla. So whenever you have options, try to face the Qibla instead of turning away from it, like when you are reciting Quran or other things. Sujood al-Sahwi. Now we will have some trouble here with Sujood al-Sahwi. This is a rough subject. I don't know what Sahwi, mistake. You make sujood when you make a mistake in the prayer. That's the last kind of sujood that we will discuss. Tilawa, shukr, and sahwi. We will mention the authentic reports that have been mentioned, that have been recorded regarding the sujood al-sahwi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we try to avoid the usual conclusions of the scholars, because they are very confusing, and try to get into something simpler. I don't know what position this author takes here, but we will see, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make mistakes sometimes, or forget in the prayer, and it is reported from him that he said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ فَإِذَا نَسِيتُ فَذَكِّرُونِ, I am only a human being like that forgets like you forget. So when I forget, you remind me. Okay, now a very common mistake in the prayer that one makes in the prayer is to forget the middle tashahud. So you are praying 4 rak'at or 3 rak'at, and you are supposed to sit after the second rak'ah, but you stand up. Instead of sitting, you stand up. So you drop or you skip the sitting and the tashahud in between. So what do you do in this case? Abdullah ibn Buhayna radiallahu anhu said, صلى لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتين من بعض الصلوات ثم قام فلم يجلس فقام الناس معه فلما قضى صلاته ونظرنا ونظرنا تسليمه كبر قبل التسليم فسجد سجدتين وهو جالس ثم سلم. He says, once Rasulullah led us in the prayer, in some of the prayers, he prayed 2 rak'at. And then he stood up without sitting after the second rak'ah. And the people stood up with him. When he finished his prayer, and we expected his taslim, wa nadharna taslima, we expected that he will make taslim, fasajada. كبر قبل التسليم. He said Allahu Akbar before taslim. So this, see, in this case it is clearly and distinctively reported that you say Allahu Akbar. He said Allahu Akbar, كبر, فسجد سجدة, and he made 2 sajdas while sitting. So without standing up, he went to sujood, made a sujood, and then sat, and then made another sajda and sat. ثم سلم. Then he said taslim. So there is no second tashahud after that. At the end of the tashahud, before saying salamu alaykum, you go for sujood and then you make taslim. And Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu, this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, who I was giving a class once, and I said I forgot the name of the Sahabi, and I will try to remember it, and I never remember. Do you remember what class was that? Were some of you present?
Is this the one where he was hitting, the Prophet was hitting
him? Exactly. He was guarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his sword, and he had his face covered.
Yeah.
And every time Arwa al-Mas'ud al-Thaqafi extended his hand to the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was talking with him, he would stick him with the sword, so he pull it back. And he said, "Who is this?" And then he said, "I am al-Mughira bin Shu'bah." So he said, "I'm still trying to cover up for you problems, and you are doing this to me." So he said, "Don't do this to Rasulullah." Anyways, that's him, Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah. I forgot at that time to bring the name for you. So Mughira radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ فَلَمْ يَسْتَتِمَّ قَائِمًا فَلْيَجْلِسْ فَإِذَا اسْتَتَمَّ قَائِمًا فَلَا يَجْلِسْ وَيَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْ السَّهْوِ. This is sahih. This is in Bukhari, in Ibn Majah. This is in Ibn Majah, and it's authentic according to Al-Albani rahimahullah. What it's saying is that if one of you stands after the 2 rak'at, then if he did not complete his standing, then let him sit back. If he remembers, let him sit back. And if he completes his standing, then he should not sit again, but he should make 2 sajdat of sahu, of forgetting, and as was described in the other hadith. So like, say I'm in tashahud, I'm in the second rak'ah, I finished my sujood, and then I start getting up, I forget that this is the second rak'ah, or that I was supposed to sit for tashahud. I start standing, and then as I'm doing this, I remember that no, this is only I'm supposed to sit now, so I should sit down. If I'm almost up, then I should stand up. Now, if I'm closer to standing, that means I have already stood, so I should not go back to sitting. But after the prayer, after I end the prayer, or before the end of the prayer, after tashahud, I make sujood as-sahw. What other reports in the Sunnah? Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam صلى الظهر خمسة. Once prayed ظهر prayer five rakat. فقال له فقيل له أزيد في الصلاة. So he was asked after he finished, has the prayer been made longer or more rakat added to it? فقال وما ذاك. He said, why do you say that? قال صليت خمسة. He was told you prayed five rakat. فسجد سجدتين بعدما سلم. So he made two سجدات after تسليم. After he finished his تسليم, he went and made two سجدات. Now the hadith here is reported by Abdullah. Who is Abdullah?
Abdullah
ibn Umar. Masud, exactly. When we say Abdullah without anything with it, it means Ibn Masud. It goes directly to Ibn Masud. Okay? When they say Abdullah without anything, they mean Ibn Mas'ud. When they talk about Ibn Umar, they don't usually say Ibn Umar or Abdullah Ibn Umar. Okay, so for the other Abdullahs, they give the full name, but for Ibn Mas'ud, when it says Abdullah without anything, it means him. And he was the oldest of those Abdullah, the Sahaba whose name was Abdullah and who were reporters of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another report, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam insarafa min athnatain. He ended the prayer by praying only two rakat. فَقَالَ لَهُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ. And this prayer was, I think, the Dhuhr prayer. So he only prayed two rakat and he was leaving. He finished the prayer and he sat a little bit and then he moved out from his place, walked away a little bit. فَقَالَ لَهُ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ. A man called ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ, the one of with two hands. And the scholars say probably because his hands were long or he was generous. That's why he was called ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ. Allahu A'lam. So a man called ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ said to him, أَقُصِرَتِ الصَّلَاةُ أَمْ نَسِيتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, has the prayer been reduced? You know why they ask him this? Because it's still, revelation is still coming. So it is possible that the prayer will be increased, will be reduced, etc. So he asked him, has the prayer been reduced? Or you have forgotten, O Allah's Messenger? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَصَدَقَ ذُو الْيَدَيْنِ. So he looked at the people and he said, is he saying the truth? Is he right? And I think in some reports he even said, لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. None of that has happened. Which means he totally forgot. He said, I don't remember that he didn't remember that he forgot, and the prayer has not been reduced. So he said, yes, O Allah's Messenger. He said, yes indeed, this happened. So then he turned to the people and he said, is he saying the truth? They said, نعم. فقال الناس نعم, yes. فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he went back to lead the people. فصلى اثنتين أخرين. He prayed two other rak'at. ثم سلم. Then he made تسليم. ثم كبر فسجد مثل سجوده أو أطول. ثم رفع. Then he made تكبير and he made a سجود similar to his usual سجود or longer. And then he stood, sat up from the سجود. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. And Imran bin Hussain radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once prayed Asr prayer, فَسَلَّمَ فِي ثَلَاثِ رَكَعَاتِ. And he made taslim after three rak'at. فَدَخَلَ مَنْزِلَ. Now this is Imran bin Hussain. Then he entered his house. After he finished the prayer, he immediately entered into his house. فقام إليه رجل يقال له الخرباق. A man called الخرباق, this is a very strange name, went to him and وكان في يديه طول, and his hands were tall. So it seems that this is probably the same ذو اليدين. فقال يا رسول الله فذكر له صنيعة. And he said, oh Allah's Messenger, and he mentioned what happened. وخرج غضبان تجر رداءه حتى انتهى إلى الناس. So he was a little upset or angry. He came out pulling his rida, which means he did not have time to fix himself, his appearance, while you know, when he heard that he probably have shortened the prayer. فَقَالَ أَصَدَقَ هَذَا. He said, is this man saying the truth? قَالُوا نَعَمْ. They said yes. فَسَلَّ رَكْعَ ثُمَّ سَلَّمْ. So he prayed one rak'ah and then made taslim. ثُمَّ سَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ سَلَّمْ. Then he made two sajda, then he made taslim. This is sahih, it is in Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah. Now, there are a few things here. First of all, is this the same as the other report? It is possible. It is possible that this is the same, and that some of the narrators mixed with the number that Prophet ﷺ prayed. In one of the reports, the report in Bukhari and Muslim, it says he prayed two, and in this report it says he prayed three for the Asr prayer. It mentions Asr prayer, it doesn't say which prayer. And the two reports describe the man similarly. One of them calls him Dhul Yadayn, the other says a man with tall hands, with long hands. And so it could be that this, there are two incidents with similarity in them, or it could be the same incident happening and being reported with slight imprecision, you say, or imprecision on the part of one of the narrators. So Allahu Alam. But you know, we still can benefit from it in that most of it agrees with the other one, and he made the sujood after he finished the prayer, after he made up the prayer and made taslim, then he made sujood and he made another taslim. And this brings also indicate that the sujood tilawa, if it is done after the prayer, you give it a salam after it. You end it with another taslim. Because some people are not sure about this. And you know, some brothers here once led the prayer and they were not sure. Myself, on some occasions I was asked and I said I was not sure. But then we found that there is this authentic report in Sahih Muslim where it says clearly that he made taslim after he finished. So if sujood tilawa is given after the end of the prayer, you make another salam. Now what if one does not know how many rak'at he prayed? Al-Quma reported that Abdullah said the Prophet ﷺ prayed, and then he either prayed more or less, zada or naqasa. That is what Ibrahim is reporting, and Ibrahim means Ibrahim al-Nakhi, one of the Tabi'in or Tabi'i, one of the small Tabi'in. He is reporting from Al-Quma, who is a Tabi'i, from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who is a Sahabi, that Rasulullah ﷺ prayed once and he either added or reduced the prayer. He either lengthened or shortened the prayer. This doubt is from Ibrahim, that he was not sure whether it was more, he prayed more or less. But the correct reports support that in that case he actually prayed more, not less, as is mentioned by Ibn al-Athir. فَلَمَّا سَلَّمْ. After he made salam, he was asked, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَحَدَثَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شَيْءٍ. Oh Allah's Messenger, is something new has been revealed in regard to the prayer? قَالَ وَمَا ذَا. He said, what is that? Why you say that? قَالُوا صَلَّيْتَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. They said, you prayed such and such, so many. قَالْ فَثَنَا رِجْلَيْهِ وَاسْتَقْبَلَ الْقِبْلَةِ فَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ سَلَّمْ. So he bent his feet, and probably it means his knees, and faced the Qibla, and then made two sajdas, two sujoods, then made taslim. And then, ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا بِوَجْهِ. Then he turned to us with his face, and he said, You follow my salawat wa barakatuh. We stop here, inshallah, for the adhan. He made the two sajdat, and then he made taslim, and then he faced the people and said, إِنَّهُ لَوْ حَدَثَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شَيْءٌ أَنْبَأْتُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّهُ لَوْ حَدَثَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شَيْءٌ أَنْبَأْتُكُمْ بِهِ. He said, indeed, if anything new happens in regard to the prayer, which means any new revelation, I would tell you. وَلَكِنْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. But, however, indeed, I am a human being. أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ. I forget like you do. فَإِذَا نَسِيتُ فَذَكِّرُونِي. If I forget, remind me. وَإِذَا شَكَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَلْيَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. And if one of you has a doubt in regard to his prayer, then let him try to strive for the correct thing, which means make his best guess possible. Guess what is the best or the most correct. فَلْيُتِمَّ عَلَيْهِ. And then let him finish his prayer in accordance with that. ثُمَّ يَسْجُدْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ. And then let him make two sajdat. يَتَحَرَّ الصَّوَابِ. التَّحَرِّ يَكُونْ بِأَنْ يَتَذَكَّرْ مَا قَرَأَ بِهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The way to try to seek the correct thing, what he correctly prayed, or what is the correct number that he prayed, is to try to remember what he recited, for example, in the prayer in the first rak'ah, what he recited in the second rak'ah, and so on. So then he will know that he prayed, for example, two rak'ahs and not one rak'ah. And he may remember that he made the first tashahud and he stood up. That is, of course, assuming that a person knows what he is doing. Because sometimes people recite things that they usually recite without thinking about them, same things in the first rak'ah, second rak'ah, third rak'ah, so it's very hard for them to remember. But you know, he tries his best to remember. So then he knows that this is what Ibn Taymiyyah is saying. We are report from Taymiyyah. So then he would probably remember that he made the first tashahud. In that case, he knows that he prayed two rak'at, not only one. Or that he prayed three, not two. And he may remember that he only read al-Fatiha, but he did not read anything else with it in one of the rak'at. So that may indicate to him that if he usually are of those who do not read anything on the third and fourth rak'at besides al-Fatiha, then he knows that he has already prayed three rak'at, for example, and so on. So that way he will seek the most correct or the closest to the truth from what he has done, and by that he will remove the doubt. And this is, doesn't matter whether he is an imam or he's praying by himself. If he tries his best and he cannot make sure whether it was, let's say, whether he prayed two or three, He knows that he prayed two for sure, but he is not sure whether he prayed the third one or not. Or he prayed one and he's not sure whether he prayed more than one. So in that case, بَنَى عَلَى الْيَقِينِ وَهُوَ الْأَقَلِ. Then he has to assume that he prayed the minimum. And he goes from there. That's because of the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فلم يدري كم صلى ثلاثة أم أربعة فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن ثم يسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم فإن كان صلى خمسا شفعنا له صلاته وإن كان صلى إتماما لأربع كانتا ترغيما للشيطان. مثل صحيح مسلم and others, which means that if one of you has doubt how many rak'at he prayed in his prayer, three or four, then let him drop any doubt, all doubt, and build upon what he is sure of, which means let him assume the minimum. So if he is not sure whether it's three or four, let him assume it's three, If there's no way he can make tarjih, you know, make one of the two possibilities more certain than the other, then let him assume the minimum, which is three. And then after he finishes, which means after he assumed three, right? So he has to pray one more rak'ah. After he finishes this rak'ah, he has prayed either four or five, right? Because he was not sure how many he prayed. So after he finishes that, he makes two sajdat before he says taslim. That's in the hadith. So he says, before he says salamu alaykum, he makes two sajdat. If he prayed five, if he had prayed five, okay, if he had prayed five by, and he said that he prayed four, then shafa'na lahu salata, they would correct his prayer for him. Shafa'na either means that these two sajdat that he made extra have corrected his prayer for him, or it means that they made it even, which means instead of five it is like six, as if it is like one more rak'ah. But the more correct understanding here is that they correct his prayer for him, they mend it or fix it for him, so as if he prayed four. وَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَّى أَتْمَامًا الْأَرْبَعَ, and if indeed he only prayed four, then these two sajdat كَانَتَ تَرْغِيمًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ, they would be just to displease or annoy the devil, Satan. So there's nothing lost by that. Okay. So that is, these are basically the ahadith reported about sujood al-sahw. These are the main ahadith, or maybe most. I don't know if there are any others. If there are any others that are not the same, or some other reports of the same, then they will be very few. These are the ahadith of sujood al-sahw. Sujood al-sahw, its ruling is that it is wajib, because the Prophet ﷺ commanded that when this happens, you do this. He commanded. So it is wajib. And the Prophet ﷺ did not leave it. Now, here's where the difference comes. There's saying here, or some quotation brought from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah from the Fatawi, volume 24, about when he does it before the taslim and when he does it after the taslim. And if you go to the some scholars have written full books about sujood al-sahw, and probably some of them have been even translated. They say you do it when you do this and this, when you do, when you make this mistake and this thing, you say it before sujood. Now, you know, it becomes so confusing. It is impossible for anybody to remember those details. And you know, just imagine that you make a mistake once every, let's say, 2 weeks, and you have to review this book continuously, so that when you make the mistake, you have to go through the book and say, okay, this applies to case number 13A.5, therefore I make it before sujood, before taslim, or after taslim. It is not possible, I mean, and this is not the way that the rukhas are, or the ease of the deen is. And that is why I find that the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani in this case is the easiest and the most logical, which is that sujood al-sahw is normally done before taslim. You normally do it before taslim. If you forget doing it before taslim, you do it after taslim, because you still have to do it. If you forget to do it before taslim, so it's permissible to do it before or after. If you miss it before taslim, you do it after, and both of them are permissible. If you say it after taslim, then you make another taslim after it, as we said. Okay, so that saves you the price of a $5 or $6 book, right? Yeah. Just say it before. Yeah, you have the book.
Yeah.
You can sell it now.
Did you refund it?
If one drops one of the sunan, then he makes sujood al-sahw, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "لِكُلِّ سَهْوٍ سَجْدَتَانِ." Whenever there is sahw, there is forgetting, you make two sajdat. And وهو سنة ولا يكون واجبا لألا يزيد الفرع على أصله. This is as said by Insay al-Jarrar, which is by Imam al-Shawkani, that it would be in this case sunnah. That if somebody leaves the sunnah of the prayer, then it is recommended to make sujood sahw, but it's not wajib. So you make sujood sahw, it is wajib to make it in the places where you leave a rukun or a major part of the prayer, and you make it up, then you make sujood sahw for it. But if you forget a sunnah, and we described earlier what are the sunnah in the prayer and what are the obligations. So if you forget the sunnah, then you make sujood sahw, it is recommended, it's not obligatory. Wallahu ta'ala. That's the end of the sujood sahw, and we can take some questions in the remaining 15 seconds.
Is there any specific
that you say,
like between the two
sajdas,
should you make
same? Yeah, it would be the same as normal
sujood.
Wallahu
a'lam. What if you just, I know you don't make sujood when you forget something. What do you do if you just forget something arbitrary, not in a prayer? Just like you forget to pick up your wife, you left her at the park or whatever.
There's no sujood sahw for that.
I was just apologizing for leaving her at the park.
That will not work, you know. It will not help the least bit.
What do you say though?
Even if you make sujood sahw, it will not help.
You might listen to blow.
If you forget her in the parking lot, that's at the end of you.
That's the end of your life. So, if you move from your spot.